Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 14 and verse number 1, and then we'll be going to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Amen. Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, then Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. If you're there, say amen. 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 It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek the Lord. They are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Amen. We could get discouraged if we were just to look at those verses, but I don't want to focus on the negative. I want to focus our attention more on the positive. I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about doing what's right, amen, for the right reasons. Amen. Doing what's right for the right reasons. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask for God's hand in this service today. Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for your word today. God, we're thankful, God, for what we felt in this house and for your presence that we've already felt here today. God, we ask that you would anoint this word, God, to every heart, to every life, and to every situation. God, give us ears to hear what your spirit has to say, God. We'll be sure to thank and give you all the praise that's due unto your name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. If we look around in the world that we live in today, it's very tempting to say that no one is good. We live in a very wicked generation. We live in a very wicked world. Amen. Much like in the days of Noah, whenever we look around, we see evil continually. Amen. And I believe that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Amen. This world does not have a desire to seek after God. This world as a whole does not have a desire to seek after the things of God. Amen. No one desires God. If we look around, we can see that. We can see nobody desires God. Nobody understands. We may say that people aren't interested in living for God, but that is a lie of the devil. Amen. There are people that are interested in living for God. There are people that have a desire to seek after the things of God. It's true that we live in a world and a generation that has drifted very far away from God. But I want to focus our attention not just on the things of this world, but the things in the church and in his body. Amen. What do we see when we look around inside the church? What do we see when we look at the body of Christ? Amen. What do we see? Do we see people that are hungry for God? Amen. Do we see people that have a desire to draw closer to him? Do we see individuals who are giving their very best for God? Amen. When I look around, that's what I see. I see people that have a genuine desire to seek after the things of God and to seek his word, to seek his face and his will for their lives. Amen. This is what we should see. But there are people that will look around in the church and there are people that will look around just like they do in the world. And they're going to see people that may not line up with what their standards are. Amen. Do we see people who are just like the world when we look around? Do we see people who don't try or who don't care or maybe they're not striving like they should be? Amen. It can be easy for the people when we're living for God and we're giving everything that we've got to God. It can be easy when we see people that aren't pushing themselves like we know that they're able to. Maybe they aren't praying like they need to. Maybe they don't praise God as much as they should. Maybe they're late for prayer or they're distracted with other things. We've all been there. Amen. And as I'm saying all of this, no doubt there's somebody that's popped into your head today. Amen. But if we aren't careful, we can begin to think of ourselves as holier than other people. We can begin to think of ourselves as higher than them, as elevated above them. Amen. We can become, in our own minds, we can become more righteous than other people. We can begin to look down on other people, and in our mind, we can exalt ourselves above them. Amen. I want to caution us against this. We need to be cautious. We need to be warned that this is not the right direction to go. Amen. We know in the Bible and in the New Testament, we don't want to become like the Pharisees in the days of Jesus. Amen. We read about the Pharisees. We read about this religious group. Amen. And anytime you think of the word Pharisee, you think of a negative thing. You think of negative people. Amen. But they were the religious leaders of that time. Amen. They were the people that the people of God followed after. Amen. The Pharisees looked at themselves as separated. Amen. They separated themselves, and there's nothing wrong. The Bible says, "Be ye separate." Amen, saith the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being separated from the world. The Pharisees were Puritans. Amen. They were Puritans from a defiled and an ungodly world. Everyone else was considered what the word that they used was Amorites, or people of the land. And they were looked at as subpar or unlearned. Not unlearned that they didn't understand the things of the world, but unlearned because they didn't understand the things of God. In fact, the name Pharisee means separatists, or it's from the word parash, which means to separate. Amen. That's what the Pharisees were. So what were they separating themselves from? If you look into the history of the Pharisees, you're going to see a group that the Pharisees as a group was established by around 135 BC. Amen. Before Christ, by the time Jesus stepped upon this earth, they were a very well-established group. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I do want to give you a little background so that we can better understand why they did the things that they did. Amen. The Pharisees were originally a part of a group called the Assyrians, which came from around the time of the revolt of Judas Maccabeus and the rule of a group named the Hasmoneans. Amen, excuse me. And this group were a group that rose up against the Hellenization of the nation of Israel. Amen. In that time, there were so many evil things going on, and Hellenization is transforming or moving everything to a Greek ideology and a Greek culture and a Greek religion. Amen. And this group, this Judas Maccabeus and his followers, rose up against that. And they said, no, we're not going to go that direction. We're going to stand in the things of God. We're going to stand in the promises of God. We're not going to go in a different direction. And so they rose up and they reclaimed the temple and they reclaimed the things of God. They were doing the right things. Amen. And this group of Pharisees came out of that mentality. They came out of that mindset that they were desiring to keep the things of God pure and the things of God holy. Amen. They didn't want to go in the way of the world. They didn't want to follow after the traditions of men. Amen. But they wanted to do what God desired of them. Amen. If you will, they desired God and they desired the will of God, but they desired it for the right reasons. Amen. They were doing the right things for the right reasons. Amen. It was also to be said of them that they maintained the messianic hope of the nation of Israel. Later, there came a group known as the Sadducees, and they were willing to sacrifice everything to the Romans in order to gain political power and influence. But the Pharisees separated themselves from that. They weren't interested in following after Greek traditions. Amen. If you will, like I said, in the very beginning, they were doing all the right things for all the right reasons. Amen. So what changed? What changed in these Pharisees? Amen. If you will, we could be considered present-day Pharisees because we desire ourselves to come out from among them and be separate. We desire ourselves to keep pure and holy and righteous the things of God. Amen. But if we're not careful, we can go in the way of the Pharisees. Amen. If we're not careful, we can have a Pharisee mentality. Amen. What happened in these Pharisees? Amen. What happened that they were looked at so unfavorably in the time of Jesus? Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. Turn there with me this morning. Matthew 23 and 1, it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Amen. They were the leaders of the people, much like Moses was. They were not the priests, amen, but they were the, and they were not the wealthiest of people, but they were the leaders of the common people. They were the leaders of the middle class, if you will. The priests were the super wealthy, and most of those were members of the group known as the Sadducees. Amen. But the Pharisees were a little bit different. Amen. And so Jesus is telling them that the Pharisees tell the people to do as they say and not as they do. Amen. They told them that you need to live this way and that you need to do these things, but they did not do the things that they commanded the common people to do. Amen. Why? Because they considered themselves better than those people. Verse 5 says, but all their works they do for the to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats at the synagogue, the greetings in the market, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And then Jesus kind of switches gears and he tells them, he's telling the people that he's talking to, he's telling his disciples, he says, but be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is great among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. He begins to lay out for them what was required of a true minister. Amen. And he didn't tell them that his disciples and the apostles that were standing around him. He didn't tell them, well, whenever you become a minister, you have to do this. But then he didn't live it in front of them. No, he was the perfect example. He was our perfect example of what a minister is. Amen. He was a servant. Amen. And I'm not just talking about people that are in the ministry, people that pastor, people that preach or teach. Amen. But anybody that wants to minister to people must be a servant. Amen. He was a servant. And we have to be a servant as well. Amen. He humbled himself. Amen. He could have been high and exalted. And he deserved that. He deserved to be lifted up. He deserved to be a king that's set upon a throne. Amen. But rather, he chose to humble himself and to minister to people. He chose to wash others' feet. Amen. He chose to serve them. Praise God. He did it as an example. Amen. Let's continue to read on verse 13. It says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are going in. He's telling them, you're not going to heaven. Amen. Can you imagine the rebuke? Can you imagine the hardship or the mentality that these Pharisees had when he's saying these words, these cutting words to them? Amen. They were trying to prevent people from making it to heaven by their false teachings and their tradition. Maybe that wasn't their mentality, but that's what they were doing. Amen. By their false teaching, they were keeping people from being able to touch God and to feel the presence of God and to draw close to him. They were trying to pull them away from following after their promised Messiah. Amen. They thought that they were saved by their actions and their own righteousness, but they weren't. Amen. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Amen. They would go about and they would deceive people such as the widows to give them their property. They would try to come up with elaborate schemes to talk them into giving them their money and their possessions. Amen. So that they could take them to themselves. Amen. They were told, they were taught to take care of the widow and the poor. Amen. But they would make the widows all the more poor. They also made it a point to pray longer than anybody else. Amen. It is said that their prayers would last more than 3 hours at a time. That they would pray more than 3 hours. Amen. And I would like to believe, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but that those prayers were only long when there were people within earshot. When there were people within distance that would hear them praying. Because I would believe that if there was nobody to hear them praying, that their prayers would draw shorter. That they would not continue to pray. Amen. Why do we pray? Amen. Do we do it so that people can hear us? Or do we do it because we desire to draw closer to God? Amen. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Amen. They would try to get people who would see things, and they would try to get people who they saw worthy to join their ranks. Jesus condemns them, saying that by doing so, they make this person a child of hell. Condemning words. Amen. He didn't have nice things to say about the Pharisees. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether it is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether it is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth thereon. He's telling them it's not the gift, amen, that's on the altar, but the altar that sanctifies the gift that's more important. It's not the gold of the temple that's important. It's the temple that sanctifies the gold. You can have gold outside of the temple. You can have an offering outside of the temple, but it's the presence of God and the power of God that sanctifies those things. Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. Whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Jesus is telling them that they have their priorities all messed up. Amen. They were more focused on the earthly things of the temple than the spiritual parts of it. They were more focused on the building, the church, if you will, the structure, if you will. And we need to be cautious that we don't get into the same mentality, that we're not so focused on the church structure, as it were, and even our local assembly, that we get too focused on the things of our local assembly, that we don't see and feel after the presence of God and His Spirit, the spiritual part of the church. Amen. They were more focused on the outward things that people saw rather than the presence and the power of God. Amen. They were more concerned about this carnal than they were about the spiritual. Praise God. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Then he goes on and says, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. What is he talking about there? Amen. The Pharisees were concerned with the most minute of details. They were righteous in the small things. Amen. If they had something in their garden that grew up, they made sure that they gave a tenth part of it, that they gave tithe of that increase. Amen. And they should have. There was nothing that they were doing wrong in that. Amen. But they were so detail oriented. They were so focused on the details of the small things that they didn't so much focus on the larger things. Amen. And that day when they would get water, they would strain the water. And they would strain the gnats, the small bugs, out of the water before they would drink it. These gnats were very small. And so the screens that they used were very fine so that it would catch all of these impurities before they would drink of it. I know it's not the same water that we have today. But Jesus was telling them that they're more focused on the small matters than the weightier matters like the camel. If you will, they swallow those things up whole. Amen. And they didn't try to worry about, they ignored these things. Amen. What am I talking about? Well, they paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Amen. But yet they conspired to kill the Messiah. They conspired to put a man to death, even if they didn't believe that he was Messiah. They conspired to put an unworthy or an unjustified man to death. Amen. They picked and chose the laws that they obeyed. And they justified themselves. Amen. Whenever they would do something that didn't line up with the Word of God, they would justify themselves with the traditions of men. They would justify themselves in their own conscience that it was acceptable because they were righteous and they were zealous to do the things of God. Amen. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Amen. Amen. The outside is what everybody sees. Amen. The outside of us is what everybody sees. If you have a glass, let's say it's not clear today, but let's say you have a glass, and you look at the outside of it. If I were to walk around with a glass, you would see the outside of it. Amen. You may not be able to see what was on the inside of it. Amen. If you have a bowl or a platter, people will see what's on the outside of that platter. They may not always see what's on the inside. So when you're washing dishes at home, amen, and this is obviously before they had dishwashers, but when they were washing dishes, they spent all the time on the outside, cleaning the outside, right? Amen. When we wash dishes at home, we worry about the outside, right? We wash the outside of the cup, and we make sure that it's clean, and we dry it good, and make sure there's nothing on the outside, right? No. Amen. If I were to give you a glass today that was spotless on the outside, that was clean, and there was nothing on the outside, but then it was full of mud and grime on the inside, would you drink out of it? No. Amen. Because it's dirty. Because it's filthy. Because it's not clean. Amen. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell the Pharisees. He told them, wash the inside first and then worry about the outside. Amen. You can drink out of a glass that's dirty on the outside. Amen. But you won't drink out of a glass that's dirty on the inside. Amen. The Lord is more concerned about what's going on the inside than what's going on the outside. Amen. And oftentimes, and I've seen this to be true in my own life and in the lives of others around me, if we get the inside right, most of the times, the outside is going to take care of itself. Amen. If you're right on the inside, God will begin to work on you on the outside. Amen. And sometimes he doesn't even have to work on it. Sometimes it's just natural that it works itself out. Verse 27 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He keeps saying this. Can you imagine these men standing around just taking this abuse? Amen. But they, I don't know, in the back of my mind, I know that they knew that they deserved it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Those are cutting words. Amen. In living for God, this principle is essential. Amen. It's necessary. You have to have this understanding. You have to have this principle in living for God, or your longevity of living for God will not be very long. Amen. You will not be able to live for God for a long time, because if you cleanse only the outside, but you don't worry about the inside, there's going to come a day in your life when you're going to question why you're doing the things that you're doing. Amen. If you do the things that you hear or that you read or that are taught to you, amen, God will bless you for your faithfulness, and God will bless you for being submitted to the man of God and the teaching and the preaching of his word, but you need to get it down in your heart why you're doing the things that you do. Amen. Yes, it can manifest itself, and I know when I came to God, there were things that I took care of on the outside before I had a total understanding and revelation of why I was doing it on the inside. Amen. I did it because I wanted to be submitted. Amen. And that's commendable. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not downplaying that. But you need to go further. You need to go deeper. You need to understand why you do the things that you do. Amen. Why you don't do the things that you don't do and abstain from the things of this world. Amen. You've got to have it down in your heart. Amen. Amen. I know of people that do everything right, that have done everything right, but there comes a day when they walk away from God, when they walk away from the church, because they never got an established understanding of why they were doing the things that they do. They did it because somebody preached it to them or somebody taught them. Amen. But they never got it for themselves. Amen. If we're going to live for God, we've got to get it for ourselves. Amen. And it's got to start on the inside. It's got to go from the inside and work its way out. Amen. You may have a form of holiness. You may have a small amount of holiness. Outward holiness is what I'm talking about. You may have a little bit that's showing out, but until you get it on the outside, it's not going to grow. Until you get it on the outside, it's not going to produce fruit. Amen. But when we get it on the inside, it's going to begin to grow. It's going to begin to flourish. Amen. And people, not just us, but people around us are going to be able to see the fruit. People around us are going to be able to see the holiness that God is putting into our lives. Amen. And you know what? We're not going to be as concerned about waiting or watching for them or flaunting it in front of them to make sure that people see it. Amen. But when we've got it down on the inside, amen, it's going to be a natural thing for us to see it and for others to see it. Amen. So Jesus here, he's condemning these men. He's condemning these religious leaders. Amen. Living for God, in our walk with God, we have to get a hold of this principle. When we first come to God, our primary focus needs to be on the inward man or the inward woman. Amen. We need to strive to be holy. We need to strive to be righteous, but it needs to be more than just a show for people to see. Amen. I've heard pastors say it, and I believe he said, his pastor said it before him, that the measure of your Christianity is not what you do here in the confines of this church, not in the walls of this church. The measure of your Christianity is not what you do when everybody else is watching you and everybody else sees what you do, but the measure of your Christianity is what you do in behind closed doors, what you do in your home, what you do when nobody else sees and nobody else will ever know. Amen. When you have the opportunity to tell a lie on your job and no one from church will ever know the difference and no one on your job will ever know the difference. Amen. But you choose to do what's right. Amen. And God will honor that. God will bless you for that. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We don't do what we do just so that people can see it, but we do what we do because we desire to draw closer to God. Amen. I don't pray because I want people to hear me pray. Amen. I don't lift my voice even louder so that I can drown other people out so they can hear my prayers over theirs. Amen. If I'm praying, people are going to know it. Amen. Without me having to tell them that I'm praying. Amen. If I fast, I don't do it because I want people to think that I'm super spiritual or because I'm super close to God. I fast because I've got to deny this old flesh and because I've got to be able to draw closer to God and I've got to deny myself to be able to do that. Amen. Amen. I don't want people to think I'm super spiritual. Amen. I want to humble myself. Amen. I don't want to put on a show for people, but I want to put on a show for God. Amen. I don't run the aisles because I want to portray my holiness. Amen. I know of people that run the aisles that are so far away from God. Running the aisles and dancing and shouting before the Lord is not the measure of our holiness and our righteousness. Our holiness and our righteousness is determined when we are alone and when we are in our personal relationship with God. God knows if we're holy. Amen. We can look around and we can say, oh, well, this so-and-so has this put together. Their life's put together. They're living right. They're doing what's right. Amen. But we don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We can't assume to understand what's going on in somebody else's life. We can't assume to understand the relationship that somebody has with God just because they're not outward about it, just because they're not boisterous about it in front of everybody else doesn't mean that they're not living for God. And it doesn't mean that they don't measure up to our standard. Praise God. Praise God. If I'm doing what I should be doing, if I'm living right, people are going to see the results. Amen. They're not going to see the actions, but they're going to see the results. If I'm walking with God, people are going to see the fruit that I'm producing. Amen. It's not something that I'm going to make happen, but it's something that God is going to make happen. Amen. And you know what? Then I do all that. I live right. I do what's right. And then I'm going to get a pat on the back, right? Amen. Well, this person's living good. Good job. Way to go. High five. Amen. That's not why we do it. Amen. That's not why we do it. Amen. We don't do it so people think we're holy. Amen. We do it And we don't do it so they pat us on the back. We don't do it so that they think highly of us and they esteem us highly. That's what the Pharisees did. They wanted people to, they liked to sit in the most premier seats. They wanted everybody to see them. They wanted everybody to see the works that they were doing and the actions that they were doing. Amen. But when people see my holiness and my righteousness, I want them to glorify my Father which is in heaven. I want them to glorify God because God gets the glory for our goodness. Amen. There's nothing that's good in me. No matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I push, I cannot produce goodness. But if I have God on the inside of me, and He's working on the outside of me, then there's going to be some goodness that shows on the outside. There's going to be some goodness that shows on the outward. Amen. And that's not any glory to me, but God gets all the glory for that goodness. Amen. We could go on, and He continues to rebuke them, and they're in Matthew, but you get the point. This is probably the most intense scolding that Jesus gave to anybody. Amen. And that's how we know them. We know them from the words that Jesus spoke about them. That's how we know the Pharisees. That's how we think of them. We think of them as those that have departed from the truth, those that are not following after God. Amen. The Talmud, to some extent, confirms the representation of the gospel. And I'm not putting confidence in the Talmud. Please don't misunderstand me if you know what that is. Amen. It was written after the time of Jesus in the first and second centuries. And it was the Jews still, the Orthodox Jews, believe it to be equal with the Old Testament, believe it to be equal with Scripture. Amen. But we're not adding to Scripture. I'm not saying this to add to Scripture, but it did have a very interesting take on the Pharisees. It says that there were seven classes of Pharisees. Number one, the shoulder Pharisee, who wears a good deed on his shoulder and obeys the precepts of the law, not from principle, but from expediency. Meaning he did the things that were easy or that were easier to do, or the things that were expedient to do. But that's all that he did. He wore his good deeds on his shoulder so that everybody could see them. Everybody could see what he had done. He would walk around with his chest puffed out, and he would broadcast his deeds so that everybody would know how good he was. Number two, the wait a little Pharisee, who begs for time in order to perform a good deed. Amen. The bleeding Pharisee, who in his eagerness to avoid looking on a woman, shuts his eyes and so bruises himself to bleeding by stumbling against a wall. Amen. The painted Pharisee, who advertises his holiness, lest anyone should touch him so that he should be defiled. Amen. The reckoning Pharisee, who is always saying, what duty must I do to balance out any unpalatable duty which I have neglected? Basically, he would count his good deeds to make sure that they offset his bad deeds and the things that weren't pleasing to God. Number six, the fearing Pharisee, whose relation to God is only merely of trembling and awe. He didn't have a relationship with a God. He didn't understand the love of God. Amen. And there are people that live for God in fear. There are people who live for God strictly out of fear. Well, I don't want to go to hell. And that's a good driving force. But I'll tell you, fear will not help you to make it all the way to heaven. Amen. Fear will not make you or help you to make it all the way. You can fear God, and you should. The Bible tells us that we should fear God. Amen. But it needs to go beyond fear. It needs to go to relationship, because we do not serve a God of fear. We serve a God of love. And that's not a charismatic message. That is a truthful message. God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. The last type of Pharisee was the Pharisee of love. Amen. This referred to the good Pharisees. Well, Jesus talks negatively about the Pharisees. Amen. But there were good Pharisees. Amen. There were good Pharisees in the time of Jesus. John chapter number 3 talks about a man by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night, and the Bible says that he was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Pharisees. Amen. And this man truly desired God. Amen. He knew that he couldn't come to Jesus by day. He knew that it was not acceptable, amen, for him to go to this teacher. Amen. But he came to him by night because there was something that was burning inside of him that said, I've got to get more. There's more of God. There's more that God has for me. And I believe that this man knows what it is. Amen. There was another man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, in whose tomb Jesus was buried, who was believed to be a Pharisee. Amen. These were good men. These were men that truly strove to do the will of God. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. Amen. Although God had to knock him off his high horse to get him into the right mentality. Amen. In all of these different types of Pharisees, except for the very last one, there was an element of acting or hypocrisy. Amen. There was an element of putting on a front. Amen. Putting on, they called them posers or posiers. Amen. And they would put on a front so that people would see their actions. Their error lies in the fact that their focus was external, rather than internal. They were more concerned about the outside than they were about the inside. Amen. Jesus called the Pharisees fools and hypocrites, which basically means that word hypocrite basically means that they were actors. They were not doing the things that they were doing because they desired to do them. They were doing them because they wanted people to see them doing them. Amen. One commentator defined hypocrisy as religion used as a cloak to hide treachery or dishonesty. Think about that this morning. Religion used as a cloak to hide treachery or dishonesty. That's what hypocrisy is. God forbid that we would never be guilty of hypocrisy. Amen. God forbid that our religion and our what we're doing for God would ever get to the point where it was just for show or just for action so that people could see us. Amen. When people come to church, when people, visitors come that have never been around this, they've never heard the preaching of the truth, they've never experienced the touch of the Holy Ghost and worship, apostolic worship and praise. Amen. They don't need to see acting. They don't need to see people putting on a front. They don't need to if a person falls down and rolls around on the ground in the Holy Ghost, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But we don't need to be rolling around on the ground in our flesh and in our own ability. Amen. If we're running the aisles, it needs to be God. The reason for it being God. Amen. It doesn't need to be just so that we can put on a show so that people think that we're more spiritual than we are. Amen. And visitors pick up on that. Amen. You may not think that they do, but visitors can pick up on what is genuine and what is sincere worship and what is affront. Amen. What is acting? Amen. God forbid that we ever act holy. God forbid that we ever act like apostolics. We are apostolics. Amen. We have the Spirit of God. We don't have a reason to be acting. Amen. There are churches that don't have the power of God. There are churches that don't have the presence of God. Amen. They have to act like they do. The charismatic church acts like they've got the Spirit and they fall out and they do the things that we do in the Spirit. Amen. Because they don't have the true power. But we have the true power. We have the power of God. We have His presence. Amen. If we roll around on the ground in the Holy Ghost, it's the true power of God. It should be. Amen. Amen. We don't have to act. And you know what? The Pharisees didn't have to act. They understood the Word of God. They understood truth. Amen. But somewhere they got off of that principle. They left their first love, if you will, as it says in Revelations. Amen. They became hypocrites. They began to justify their actions. They began to make up. They would look down. The people that they would look down on, they would come up with different means to put burdens on them. Amen. They would tell them that they had to do certain things and they couldn't do certain things. And they weren't doing it so that they could help them to draw closer to God. They were doing it so that they could heap burdens upon them and keep them cast down and keep them downtrodden. Amen. The things that we preach, the things that we teach are not meant to keep people pushed down or to keep people from from rising up. Amen. That's not the intention. Amen. Holiness is not preached so that you are pushed down or so that you are brought into subjection. But holiness is holiness with God. It's seeking after God. It's desiring to draw closer to Him and to do the things that are pleasing to Him and to separate ourselves from the things of this world. Praise God. Praise God. But they would do that. The Pharisees would do that. They would try to to lay heavy burdens upon the common man. Amen. To where they couldn't keep it. They couldn't do it. And in doing so, they condemned them to death. They condemned them to hell. Or in their minds, they did. Amen. The story comes to mind of the Pharisee and the publican. Amen. The Pharisee came to the very front. Amen. And he began to cry out before God and said, God, I'm not like other men. I don't do all the unrighteous things that these other men do. And I do this and I give this and I make sure I come to church early and I pray and I seek God and I'm louder than everybody else and I pray more than everybody else and I fast more than everybody else and I live a more holy life than anybody else. Amen. And he lifted his voice to heaven so that everybody in that church could hear him. But then there was somebody in the back of the church. And the Bible says there was a publican, a tax collector. Amen. A despised person in the world. And he smites his breast. And he says, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Amen. He humbled himself. And he recognized that there was nothing good in him, that his goodness was not in him, but it came from God. And he smote himself. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible says that man, the publican, not the Pharisee, that man left that house more justified. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is not interested in acting. God is not interested in posing. God is not interested in just going through the motions. Amen. But the things that we do for God, both here in the church and in our lives, need to be real. Amen. It needs to be what God desires. And we're not doing it only because other people are seeing. We're not doing it just for so that we can build ourselves up. We're doing it so that we can be right with God. And not worried about what everybody else is doing. Not worried about what everybody else isn't doing. Amen. But we're worried about what we're doing. Praise God. Praise God. In the beginning, these Pharisees were doing what was right, if you will, for the right reasons. Amen. Amen. But they changed. Another good example of this in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter number 9. Amen. A very familiar story. We know the story where Samuel came to Saul. Amen. And he began to talk to him. And God had chosen out a king to rule over his people. Amen. And God comes to Saul and he begins... Samuel comes to Saul and he begins to talk to him and he begins to minister to him. And he tells him that God has ordained him to be king over Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 21 is Saul's response. And he says, and Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel and my family of the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? I'm nothing, Lord. I don't deserve anything. And then he says, wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Why are you talking to me like that? Amen. Saul had a good heart. Amen. In this verse, in this part of his life, Saul had a good heart. He desired the things of God. Amen. And he desired to be right with God. He didn't lift himself up. He didn't exalt himself above other people. But he humbled himself. He said, God, I'm of the smallest tribe. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. God, and I of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm of the least of the families. I'm nothing, God. Why would you pick me? Amen. But that's what God does. God sometimes picks the basest things, the lowly things of the world to lift them up and to exalt them. Amen. Why? Because then God gets all the glory. Amen. If God elevates somebody to a position, amen. If somebody elevates themselves to a position in their own righteousness, amen. It's not going to bring fruit. It's not going to be effective. Amen. But when God elevates a person into a position, then he will exalt them. He will lift them up. Amen. And it will be a natural thing in the sight of everybody around him. Amen. But Saul, like the Pharisees, didn't stay humble. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 10. Turn there with me this morning. 1 Samuel 15 and 10, it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. We're 6 verses later, by the way, if you didn't notice, or 6 chapters later, excuse me. And already the Lord has to speak to Samuel and tell him something's going on. The word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, For he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, and saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. He still was putting on the act. He said, Oh, blessed be thou of the Lord. This is a prophet of God. I've got to act the part or he's going to know something's wrong. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Amen. Samuel wouldn't know. Samuel wasn't there. Samuel didn't know what had happened. So I'll just tell him I did what God told me to do. Amen. And you know what? Samuel in and of himself probably didn't know what was going on. But Samuel had a relationship with God. And God spoke to Samuel and told Samuel what was going on. Amen. He said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ear, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Oh, they have brought from them the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. We did what God commanded, but we brought this to give it as a sacrifice to God. They spiritualized their sin. They spiritualized their iniquity and their rebellion against God. And they said, we brought this to offer it as a sacrifice, God. It's kind of like going out and buying a lottery ticket and you win and then you bring it to God. When you know you shouldn't have bought the lottery ticket in the first place. Well, God bless me, I must have won. And then you bring and you bless the work of God. That's not how it works. Amen. We're spiritualizing our rebellion. Amen. And that's what Saul was doing. Amen. He said, the people did this. It wasn't me. I followed the commandment of God. But the people who are lower than me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If the people are doing it, it's because they're following a leader who's not following after God. Amen. Then verse 16 says, Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. He's deceiving himself. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thy own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? You were humble. What happens? What happened, Saul? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way of the Lord. He still won't admit it. And he says, I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He didn't completely destroy them because he didn't destroy their king. Amen. But the people took the spoils. Again, he blames it on the people. He says, the people took the spoils. And they took the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Notice he says, the Lord thy God. Amen. Many times in the scriptures we hear people talking about the Lord my God. Amen. When I talk to God, I don't talk to him about, you know, I don't say the Lord pastor's God. Or I don't say the Lord thy God, but he's my God. Amen. Amen. I have a personal walk with him. I have a personal relationship with him. But he says, I did as the Lord thy God said to do. Amen. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Amen. If you will, he's basically going back to what we talked about earlier, in that it's not just doing the things that we need to do, but we're doing them for the right reasons. Amen. Amen. Just like they would They were more concerned about the gold of the temple than they were about the temple that sanctified the gold. Like they were more concerned about the sacrifice that was upon the altar than the altar itself that sanctified the sacrifice. It's better to obey than to sacrifice and hearken than the fat of rams. God's not interested in the fat of animals. In the Old Testament, he didn't have them offer sacrifice just so that they could kill this animal. The blood and the fat and these animals, they weren't interested. God wasn't interested in that. All the animals were God's. Amen. Those sacrifices that they made were for themselves. The blood that was shed was for their atonement. It didn't benefit God. Amen. It didn't add to God anything, but it added to the people's submission. It added to the people obedience. It added to the people the blessing of God in that they were submitted to His word and to His will. Amen. We need to do the right thing. Amen. But we need to do it for the right reasons. Amen. We don't need to do it so that other people are watching, but we need to strive for righteousness. We need to follow after the commandments of God. Amen. In the book of in the writings of Solomon, he said, to fear God and to do His commandments. That's the most important. That's the first thing. That's the first priority of man. That's what we need to do. Amen. But we need to do them for the right reasons. We need to do them because we're pleasing God. We need to do them because we desire to, not because somebody's telling us to. Amen. If you're doing what you're doing because the pastor has taught it or preached it, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to stop. Okay? But you need to get an understanding. And if you don't understand why you're doing the things that you do, you need to ask. You need to ask somebody. You need to ask the pastor. You need to ask somebody else in the church, somebody that knows. And if they can't tell you, you need to go to somebody else until they can explain it to you and they can show you in the Word of God why we do the things that we do, because you need to have that in your heart and you need to have that in your spirit. Amen. If somebody asks you why you live the way that you live, don't be ashamed to tell them. Amen. Tell them with boldness. Amen. This is why I do the thing as I do. And not to build yourself up, but because you have a relationship with God and because you know what God desires. That's not condemning to them. Amen. It shouldn't be, but it should be done in love. It should be done to reach them and to help them. Amen. Because God desires that all come to repentance, that all would be saved. Amen. I know it's not going to happen that way, but that's what God desires, and that's what we should desire as well. Praise God. A couple more verses as Sister Reed comes this morning. Isaiah chapter number 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64 and 6, it says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Praise God. Our righteousness, the things that we do in our ability, they are as filthy rags before God. Amen. The very best that we can accomplish. Amen. We can strive and struggle and push. We can do everything in our power. Amen. But when God looks at it, if we're not leaning on Him, it's a pile of filthy rags. Praise God. Amen. That's because this flesh can only come up so high. We are only capable of so much in our own ability. We aren't capable in our own power to be truly righteous. Amen. If we were, we wouldn't need God. But we don't have that ability. And we will never, in our own ability, have that. We will never be able to rely upon ourselves. No matter how long you've been living for God, no matter how short a time you've been living for God, you've got to have His presence. You've got to have His strength. You've got to have His help. You've got to have His righteousness, not your own. Amen. To be able to make it to heaven. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We all need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God dwelling within us to be able to come up higher than this old flesh can take us. Amen. Because if we rely on this flesh, we're going to fall short. Praise God. Praise God. Mark chapter number 10 and verse 18 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Praise God. We need to remember that we're still in a body of flesh today. We have not arrived. And no matter how good we think we are, there is only one that is good, and that's God. Amen. And that's humbling. And it needs to be humbling. We need to be humbled at times. We need to be knocked down and understand where we fit in the big picture of things. Because we're nothing and God is everything. Amen. God doesn't look at the things of us on the outside. He isn't concerned if we've got it together and for everybody else to see. Our pride worries about that. Our pride worries what other people think. Our pride worries about what people in the church think of us. Amen. Amen. You can say amen whether you agree or not, but it's truth. Amen. Our pride is what worries what other people in the church think of us. Amen. But God looks on the inside. God looks on the inward. He looks on the heart to see what's important to us and to see why we're doing what we're doing. And I pray that God helps us to never become more focused on the outward parts of our lives and the outward parts of our church than the inward parts of our church. And I'm not talking about reaching out to souls. I'm talking about the things that we do in this assembly. Amen. We need to be focused on what's on the inside. Not what brother so-and-so's doing. Not what sister so-and-so's doing or not doing. Amen. Let God worry about that. And if God so chooses to give a word to the man of God, to the pastor, to deal with that situation, he'll be the one that deals with that situation. It's not our place. Amen. It's not our job. But God will deal with us as he sees fit. Amen. We just need to focus on our inward part. Amen. What does the scripture say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God. I'm not going to work out Garrett's salvation. Amen. I can pray for him, and I should. Amen. And being over the youth, amen, I can teach him the word of God and try to reach out to him if I know things that are going on, and I'm not saying there is, but I can try to reach him, and I can try to show him in the word of God what things I see and don't see. Amen. But then it's in God's hands. Amen. All I can do is sow a seed. All I can do is sow a seed. But God is the one that has to give the increase. God is the one that makes it to grow. God is the one that deals with our hearts. Amen. Amen. And if we're dealing with other people's hearts, amen, I want to encourage us this morning. Let's not worry about what other people are doing. Let's focus on what we are doing for God. Amen. I've said it before, if I'm not a musician, but if a piano is tuned to a certain key, and they would tune it from middle C, and then they would tune all the other notes off of that. Amen. And they would tune it to a tuning fork, and it would make a sound. It would make a distinct sound, and they would tune to that tuning fork, and then every other note was tuned off of that. And if that person that would tune it would go to another piano, and they would tune it off of the same tuning fork. Amen. And then another one, and another one, and another one. Every one of those pianos would not only be in tune with that tuning fork, but they would be in tune with each other. Amen. And so if we're in tune with God, if I'm in tune with God, Garrett, if you're in tune with God, Isaac, if you're in tune with God, Hunter, if you're in tune with God, Gavin, if you're everybody here today, if you're in tune with God, and I'm in tune with God, we're going to be in tune with each other. And we're not going to have to go over and try to tweak and adjust our brother or our sister to make sure that they're in tune. Let God tune them. Because you know what? I already said it this morning. I'm not a musician. Amen. It's easy to get off tune. Praise God. If you don't know what you're doing, and it's not from God, it's easy to get off tune. Praise God. Amen. And if Garrett gets off tune, it's not my job to go over and tweak him. It's God's job to tweak him. It's my job to make sure I stay in tune with God so that when he gets him lined out, that we're in unity with each other. Amen. Why don't we stand together this morning? And why don't we lift our hands and lift our hearts unto the Lord? Amen. And let's just search out our hearts if we could this morning. Amen. Let's look at our motives. Amen. Why are we doing the things that we do? If we're doing them for the right reasons, praise God. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not putting anybody down today. Why are we doing the things that we do? Is it because we desire more of God? Or is it because we want to be holier than everybody else? Do we want people to notice us, or do we want people to notice God? And do we want God to notice us? Praise God. I want to get God's attention today. Amen. But I'm not able to do so by flaunting my holiness in front of other people. God is going to turn up his nose at that. I'm going to get God's attention by going and focusing on the inward man. Amen. Let's lift our voices right now. Lord, we love you today, Jesus. God, we desire your presence more than anything, God. We desire a move of your spirit, God, in the inward part of our spirit, God. In the inward man, God. Move in each of our lives, God. Move in your church, God. Move in us as individuals, God. And help us, Lord, to be in tune with you. Help us to line up with you, God. Help us to seek your face, God. And not to worry about what our brother or our sister are doing, God. Not to worry about what anything else that's going on, but to seek you and your will, God. Lord, and to seek those that are lost, God, and to reach out to them, Lord. Help us not to have our eyes upon the inward part of the church, Lord God, and upon our brother and our sister, God, but to have our eyes outward upon the field, God, that we can reach somebody and that we can help somebody with this gospel, that we can speak a word of faith, God, and be a light that would shine out of darkness to this dying and lost world, Lord. We thank you for it, Jesus. We praise you today, God. Oh, we worship you, God, in this house. Why don't we give him a